You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry.
You're on the radio.
Knives and stabbing weapons.
Now, who's this?
Knives and stabbing weapons.
He sounds like he's from Canada.
It's Jerry.
Hang up on him.
Knives and stabbing weapons. Knives and stabbing weapons.
Like spear?
No, knives. Hello, darling. And stabbing weapons.
Man.
A spear is a stabbing weapon.
Knives and stabbing weapons.
That's not how you prank.
A penis is a stabbing weapon.
I'm a good pranker.
Forks are stabbing weapons.
But like, what a...
stabbing weapon.
A harpoon's a stabbing weapon too, isn't it?
Knives and stabbing weapons.
Actually, a sharpened
knives
skateboard. Or, let me bring your mic down a little bit here, phone guy. Or like a key. A sharpened key is a stabbing weapon.
You know this acid?
Yes, I heard you.
It's knives and stabbing weapons.
I know. Keep saying it.
Knives and stabbing weapons.
One more time.
Music. He's got a rhythm.
Stabbing weapons.
Again.
Knives and stabbing weapons.
Oh, nice. Sorry. I wanted to hear the rest of the knives and stabbing weapons.
Report. Guidance system out. Auxiliary steering out.
Divert! Divert!
She won't answer the helm. We're locked into the moon's gravitational pull. What do we do? We die.
An electric monocle. Hey, everybody! Episode 97 of Nowhere in Mulberry live here on Talk Radio X. How's it going, everybody? Thank you for joining us. Steven, the pop culture zealot to my left. How are you doing, Steven?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
I would love to have an electric monocle.
Who wouldn't?
Everyone wants one.
I love that.
It has such a dramatic effect, too.
Yeah, anytime anyone asks you something like, you know, when is that going to happen?
Right after this.
Yeah, something like that.
No, you just say we die every time.
Yeah, we die. Out of so when are we going to go catch something to eat later?
No.
We die. What? You're not
what
even
talking about
sense.
Who's dying?
Hey, Bill. Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
Hola, por favor.
How's it going, everybody? Now, Bill, we didn't get to do a lunchtime show yesterday.
We didn't.
Talk Radio X was gone. We thought the government seized Talk Radio X and got rid of it, made it disappear.
It was Antebert's worst nightmare. The RIAA closed it down.
For non-pod-safe music.
The Men in Black or something.
Damn you and your un-pod-safe music.
But you know what? We're back and we're doing the show, so that's all that matters. Am I right?
Yes, it does.
It's been a great week, Bill. Bill, I'm still sitting on that Xbox 360.
Yeah.
I can't wait to start playing it.
Well, hopefully we'll have a chance tomorrow.
Can you believe the restraint I've showed?
I know, it's amazing. But you have been playing the demos.
Well, I just kind of, I had to look at something, because I hooked it up and I'm like, okay, put it away, you got to work on the show, you got to do clips and stuff. was just like, what kind of demos are on here? And they had the Star Wars A New Hope Legos. Star Wars Legos. Those things are cool, aren't they?
We messed around with one of those at first, but it gets old.
But what about like co-op, two-player? Is that pretty fun? Can you play that online, Bill?
I'm not sure. I have to look online and see what all 360 games are co-op online.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out the Steven brought me a nice cable there to go online. Now, Xbox Live, basically, you can go online on your Xbox. You can play games with other people, like Mortal Kombat with a kid in Vietnam, as the cable guy said.
Awesome. Yeah.
And you can talk on a headset.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. You never have to leave the house.
Technology. Well, for food, it's almost like this.
Yeah.
But with a video game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, Bill, we got to figure out how to do a show on the battlefield while playing Halo.
Now, that would be funny.
With sound effects, everything.
It could be like a red versus blue kind of thing.
Yeah, episode 100 on the battlefield. What do you say, Steve?
The Mulberry Fort.
I think that would be awesome.
It's hunting orders and everything.
It'd be like, Bill, if we don't get through here before the TiVo segment's over, what's going to happen?
We die.
Too
bad there's no
sound.
Monocles in Halo.
I love that whirr sound that...
Well, it's so funny because they've obviously added that in post, because the sound that cheap plastic makes, you can hear the click,
like
when it just
hits the rubber on his forehead.
Yeah.
That's what we're
click.
If anybody hasn't figured it out, we're talking about The Last Starfighter and the bad guys, the Codan Armada.
I
guess he's the captain of the ship. He's got like this electric monocle that whenever he wants to emphasize something,
yellow piece
it
of
flips
glass.
Over on his eye. Goes.
It's kind of like
what's
the
so
one
funny
the...
about that entire movie is that those two the two Codan are arguing constantly about Xur, and they're like, when are we going to get rid of him? We don't need him. And then at the end, when Xur gets away, they're ready to die. They're just like, oh, okay, well, he's gone, and now we have no choice. We die.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, Xur took off, and we're going to crash into this moon. What do we do?
We die.
And it's just like, what kind of plan was this? You got your head up your ass. I knew you shouldn't have been
in
command.
Beat them. The entire armada.
I love that movie. The effects are so dated, aren't they? But it's a historical document. In a way,
well, they
it?
Hold up. It's amazing. I mean, just the way, you know, everything, the way they built those machines. And I mean, I can't talk about how incredible, like, that entire process
was.
It's
computer animation. A lot of people think Tron was computer. Tron was animation.
Yeah.
If you go back, if you have Tron on DVD, listen to the commentary. That's all animation, man. They filmed it in black and white, and they drew in, they hand-painted the light cycles. That's animation. That's not computer.
Oh, yeah.
The only computer stuff is the entrance and exit from the program.
And Wendy Carlos, that's a special effect there, too. The music. Guy who wanted to be a woman. Isn't that weird? The music.
Alexis Arquette?
Yeah.
Chris Crocker?
But I love The Last Starfighter, and for my birthday, I want that, if my wife's listening, HD DVD. Does it look pretty cool, Bill?
Yeah, it's great. I've probably watched that one more than my entire collection.
That's one of those movies, I mean, you want all your childhood faves like that. Like, I got Darkman, got Road Warrior. Mm-hmm. I'd love Big Trouble in Little China in HD. But
oh, that would rock, but it's Fox. So.
Yeah, that'll be Blu-ray. But,
well, you know what? You'll have a Blu-ray player eventually when
Goonies
the prices go down.
Goonies in HD.
Oh, Goonies. I want the Goonies extended edition with the octopus in the lake.
Yeah, have you seen the octopus footage?
No, I
haven't. When Gremlins came out, it
it's
came
on
with,
the TV footage.
What, Gremlins and Goonies is what I'm thinking of. They would come out with magazines, like the Collector's Edition magazine.
Right.
It was the Goonies magazine. And it talked about the scene here, they teach the octopus to break dance or whatever with the boombox. And when you go to see the movie, it's like, I didn't see an octopus doing a break dance. But when you see it in the cutscenes, it's like, I can see why they cut this out.
Yeah. What the hell are they thinking?
It's like, oh my God. Now, Bill, I don't watch, I haven't been watching Beauty and the Geek, but Rick sent us a voicemail about Beauty and the Geek, and since you watch it, it's I'm going to play it for you, and you respond to it, okay?
Okay.
Hey, guys, from Mulberry, it's Rick from Fort Worth, Nub the Squirrel in the chat room. Just wanted to give my thoughts on Beauty and the Geek. Did you guys laugh as hard as my wife and I did when Rebecca started to cry? Yeah, that was great. Goodbye to Will and Rebecca. They won't be missed in the least.
So you can see I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yes, I loved it. I was cracking up. Rebecca is the one that was screwing the guy Beauty. And her entire thing was, I'm not ready to go. I need this change.
So
what,
much.
You need to be a slut?
This experience is changing my life.
Yeah, I
like
hated
that
her. They were screwing in the bed over the nerd girl.
Yeah, I mean, I felt so bad for the nerd girl because, you know, he just walks into her room and she's like, hey, you know, let's have sex.
They're in there messing around and all of a sudden you kind of, they pan over. It's got that night vision camera.
Yeah.
They pan down and you kind of see the girl kind of roll over just a hair. And then they kind of pan back and you hear the door shut where she leaves, and you hear them talking, oh my God, was she awake? And all this.
Well, the girl was stupid
now
enough
concerned
to go,
about
where
it.
Is she going to go? Like, where? Yeah. Certainly not underneath you while you're getting pounded by some himbo.
Pounded?
Well, the nerd girl and the himbo talked, and they're like, hey, if you bring this chick back, let me know, I'll leave, she says. But he brings her in, sneaks her in. And they start messing around. Didn't even say, hey, you want to scram for a bit, you know, or nothing. Yeah. They just go at it.
I was so glad when she was gone because this whole guy beauty thing has just completely screwed up the show. I mean, just completely screwed it up. I hated it from the start. And I just, I'm so glad it's gone. And this Will guy was just this large 23-year-old balding greaseball that was so arrogant. He would read like the Telltale Heart like he was some sort of auteur.
What?
It was
did
horrible.
Did he have an electric monocle?
He should have.
We die.
He kept making references to his reading prowess.
Yeah,
you know. How great he was, an orator, you know, essentially, you know, reading.
After they didn't win the first challenge, he was like, okay, so now we really have to win this second challenge so we don't go home. I need to initiate siege mentality, drop the drawbridge. And I'm just going, you are an asshole.
He's one that gets, it looks like he plays the D&D games live, you know.
Nice. I am the dungeon master.
You know, gets out there, does sword play and stuff.
Sweet. With those foam swords. What do they call that, Bill? The live role-playing or something?
LARPers.
They would have, you know, you pull
live
out like
action
a stone.
Role-playing.
You were frozen! We've actually...
Lightning bolt!
Yeah, that was it! I love that. Lightning bolt!
There's a LARPer in this thing this season who is just such a bizarro. And of course Will and the LARPer get along perfectly, and they're out there playing with these foam core swords. Like, they goes, let's calibrate, and they hit each other like, okay, that's good, you know. And it's
what?
Like, what the hell are you doing?
Like, they're testing the strength of the swords.
Do they do the whole Conan scene? Who is your god? My god is Crom.
No, but
no,
they
they're
should
not that, they're not that clever.
Ah, oh, damn, I love Conan. So isn't there like a Conan MMO coming out, Bill? That's why
I have no idea. I'm so behind on those. I just don't even pay attention
it's
anymore.
It's like, you know, Conan, I guess it's based on the world he lives in, and you play in the world he lives in, but you're not Conan. I don't get it.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of the women.
That is good.
Exactly.
That is good.
That is good.
Now,
I love that guy.
That is good. Hey, I like what I hear. Now, Larry King, does he? He never has like important guests, does he?
An old owl with suspenders.
He had Kid Rock on the show this week, and Kid Rock.
Oh, awesome!
What I think's funny, if you listen closely to the interview, Kid Rock mentions briefly that
he just wants to talk about his music, but that's not what they're talking about during the whole interview. Let's check it out.
I went to the bathroom. I come back, and he's pretty much sitting, like, in my seat at my table right there. And when I came back, it just clicked, and I kind of did what I thought any man would have done. It wasn't even...
Oh, yeah, this is about the fight at the VMAs with Tommy Lee. Is that what it was? Yeah, VMAs.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee was sitting in his chair, so they had to get in a scuffle.
I got
to
handle this.
Did you hurt him?
Well, I don't know if it's good, you know. I don't like to damage people's egos. As far as I'm concerned, it's handled and it's done.
By the way, I'm told tonight, I don't know how you react, Extra is reporting that Pamela is going to get married this weekend in Las Vegas. And she's marrying Rick Solomon, who's most famous for making the sex
she's
tape
with
Paris
Hilton.
She's got real
good taste, doesn't she?
I knew Rick Solomon. Yeah, I would go to his mine sometime. You
know, whatever.
Does this shock you?
I don't get shocked by much.
I'm a rock and roll.
I don't
get shocked.
There's so many other things going on that, you know, actually it's kind of good. Hopefully that takes, you know, the last thing I want is this stuff to overshadow my music, which is why I'm here talking to you.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't think that'll ever happen.
So this maybe takes a little bit of focus off it, and this guy can, you know, go Rick. Here, hand off.
So that was a very important interview by Larry King.
Larry King is such an asshat.
The last thing he'd want to do is for it to distract from his music.
So, Kid Rock, I know you have an album, but let's talk about your herpes.
Yeah.
Do you have hepatitis C?
Let's go ahead and get into entertainment. So, what will dethrone the Rock movie this week? Will it still be number one?
The Game Plan.
The Game Plan. Have you seen that, Steven? That Rock movie's been number one for 2 weeks in a row.
It's a kid's movie, though, isn't it?
It's fun for the whole family.
That's why. That's the only reason.
What comes out this week?
I don't know.
Is there anything?
Michael Clayton's wide release this week.
Oh, please. That'll come in like fourth.
Yeah, that's not exactly... Hey, kids, let's go see Michael Clayton!
I haven't really seen anything.
Damn, I almost had it on the tip of... This is why you should take show notes, kids. Joaquin Phoenix movie. The Mark Wahlberg movie.
We own the side street sidewalk thing.
So what do you guys think? Look good?
It looks pretty good.
It doesn't look good, but it might be good. It's by the same guy that did The Yards, and I like that.
Oh, yeah. That's been on HDNet Movies quite a bit.
Really? I haven't seen it yet on there.
I haven't seen any reviews of this, but perhaps I'll check that out. Now, Bill, the big
I've heard that Eva Mendes has a nude scene in it, so hey.
Really? But
yes.
The big news today, Bill, is our boy Simon Pegg has been cast as Scotty in the new Star Trek, J.J. Abrams'
Montgomery
Star Trek.
Scott.
What do you think of that, Steven?
What?
Don't you trust Simon Pegg to pull it off?
Oh, yeah, for that. But just, he's like, okay, Star Trek, just, okay.
You don't get excited about Star Trek.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. Star Trek.
Sure, Anthony is excited.
Star Trek.
I mean, it's replaying the old one, so.
Now, who's going to play Sulu, Bill? I forget his name.
John Cho, who's Korean. He was Harold and Kumar.
Sulu.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got to work.
Korean Sulu.
They got to work Kumar into the...
Oh, that would rock.
He plays like a Ferengi or something. But I guess...
No,
Kumar,
you know what's going to
like
happen?
Be like a Rastafarian alien.
Yeah.
Next year, there's going to be a spoof movie, and they're going to incorporate Harold and Kumar into that.
Ah, he'll host Saturday Night Live. They'll do a skit
or a skit.
Epic Movie 2.
Now, let me ask you this.
Exactly.
If this takes place in, like, Starfleet Academy or something, right?
That's...
And the Klingons didn't yet have the wrinkled forehead, the butt heads. Will they in this movie? Because
Will they be black?
They evolved into that.
They evolved into wrinkled head black men.
Yeah, I remember that, Bill. It's like, you said black Klingon. I said, they're not black Klingons. They're just Klingons. They just happen to be played by black guys. But they're white and black guys.
Wait a second. The young boy wasn't on...
Steven, actually, you're a coward!
Yeah, his son was played by a young white boy.
If you're any other man, I'd kill you where you stand.
Young white boy.
the youngest
What's
son.
What's up, white boy?
The young kid from Family Ties.
Yeah, they play both.
Oh.
But, no, Bill said black Klingons.
Interracial
And I was like, they're not black Klingons, they're just Klingons. Brothers can play him, Koreans. But anyway. No, Koreans play Sulu. But they've always done that on TV. That's what, you know, now that you mention that, is Simon Pegg Scottish?
No, he's not.
No.
So,
but, you know, he's pretty close to Scotland. So,
so
sure
I wonder if that'll annoy people, too.
Hmm?
Of course it will. Anything's going to annoy him.
Also, Simon Pegg is like strawberry blonde, so he's going to have to... are they going to make him dye his hair brown?
A Brit playing a Scot and a Korean playing a Japanese person. They're just setting out to piss off everybody, apparently. I don't care. Whoever's best for the part, I say.
I mean, who was playing Spock?
But James Bond is British, but he's always been played by Scottish guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, hey, guess...
Until now with Daniel Craig.
Ah, but Connery and Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, and Timothy Dalton. Wasn't Timothy Dalton Scottish? Or
he'll always be the Baron to me.
The Baron?
Genius flick there.
Nice.
Nice and stabbing weapons.
Nice and stabbing weapons.
Have you seen the trailer to Jumper, Steven?
No.
It's basically Anakin Skywalker, and he doesn't have a lightsaber. But
he
can teleport, like... And apparently meets another guy who can do it, too. And
Billy Elliot.
Yeah. And Mace Windu's in it. Samuel Jackson. If you don't know.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He's that black dude who was in...
was he a Klingon?
You're on the air.
Hi, fellas.
Hey, it's Antibird, everybody.
Hey, great show. I'm sorry to bother you. I don't want to impose on your show. But there was a couple of points and a very quick announcement.
All right.
One point is, to my knowledge, I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, in Tron, the light cycles were actually computer generated. The background scenes were rotoscoped, like all the lights and the lines on the actors and the background plates. But when they actually had like the race scene, it was very primitive computer animation. But they did actually, you know, take the printouts and rotoscope them.
Right.
But technically, it is computer generated.
But is it hand painted animation? I mean, it's hand painted on the cells, is what I was.
Like when they show you Jeff Bridges up close, and he's like black and white and grainy,
right.
And he's wearing that weird suit,
right?
Because he's a computer program. I wasn't buying into that, but. All those like lights he had, like almost like circuitry.
Yes.
And it would be red, or everybody would maybe have a different color. Those were all of that was hand painted.
Right.
Rotoscoped over the and all of the, anything that's basically in color, because all of the footage was shot in black and white.
I'm totally surprised. I thought you were calling in about Star Trek, so you threw me.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was getting to that. I'm sorry. Now, the Star Trek thing, the whole Klingon thing was explained.
Why it started.
It started when DS9, remember that crew?
Yeah, it was that Trouble with Tribbles kind of episode.
Right. They went back to that episode, and they had to resolve the fact that Worf, who was the Turtlehead Klingon, was in the same scene as
the black.
He's the black Klingon.
Yeah.
Well, no, what they used to look like is Mexican Klingons,
right? With the goatee,
right?
The pointy goatee.
So they asked him about it.
Their names were Jesus.
Right. In the actual episode, they sort of referenced that, and they said, "Hey, what's with those Klingons? How come they look like that?" And Worf said,
"We don't like to talk about it."
Yeah, you know,
something like.
That was so great. Because they had no explanation.
No, hold on.
Oh. Okay.
Now, in the show Enterprise, which you know starred as Scott Blackula.
Yes.
He.
Dr.
Acula?
An
episode that. Scott Blackula.
Scrubs reference.
He was the captain of the Enterprise before Kirk. And he ran across some Klingons who were genetically altering themselves And I'm sure more people could explain this better
Splicers.
To you. Splicers. Yes. And part, and they were trying to genetically look more like humans or something. And the Dr. Phlox cured the disease, but the residual effects were that this whole group of Klingons were going to have no ridges.
Now, besides that, what did you
Ruffles
think of the
ridges.
What did you think of the theme song to Enterprise? Is that like not the worst theme song? Why didn't they just have like
bread or something?
Like, infatuation. Like that. I mean,
you can't have lyrics in a Star Trek song. Didn't anybody?
One night that was Bangkok.
Yeah, what is this? So bad.
But listen, I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I just, if I may, make an announcement. I neglected to say this on my show, but it sort of fits in with your show, and maybe your audience would appreciate it.
Okay.
But we have a special guest coming up on the live test show, September 29th. And this
October
guest
29th?
Is,
you mean October 29th?
I mean October 29th. I'm okay. Sorry. Thank you. Billy Mummy from Lost in Space.
Oh, cool.
Oh, dear.
Oh, William. Oh, the pain.
Let's go in back. Ooh.
Never fear. Smith is here.
It does not compute.
No, dear.
Come along, you bubble-headed booby.
That's awesome. What are you guys going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about how much Will Robinson influenced my life, first of all.
Danger, Will Robinson.
I know it's a goofy show, but I was a very young boy, and that was like the center. That was the focal point for me was Will Robinson and his relationship with the robot. And... I related to that very well. Like that was that's what I thought a boy should be.
Sure, smart. Every boy would
doctor
want...
didn't make you sexually confused.
Right. Come along with me, William.
All right, Dr. Smith.
He got brushed off by his parents a lot, didn't he?
What?
He got brushed off by his parents a lot.
Go hang out with Dr. Smith at a robot.
Right.
Energy cell exhausted.
He had his power pack. You just take his power pack off and he'd be
I like how the arms drooped out too when he
right.
The hooks opened up.
Robot emotes. He was also
amazing.
Bill Mumy was also on I've never watched that
Babylon
show.
5.
Yeah, Babylon 5.
Yes. And he was also on the original Twilight Zone episode of Anthony the Monster. Who
right.
Wished people yep. into the cornfield.
And also, I believe he's written comic books. Also, he's been into mm-hmm. comic books and stuff.
And had excuse me, he's in the band Barnes and Barnes, on you know, that's his pseudonym, and he did the song Roly Poly Fish Heads. And he's
fish
very
heads,
much
fish
into
heads?
Music.
Yeah, we could really tell by that song.
Well, that was just like a novelty act, but he has a regular band, and we're going to talk about that as well.
Cool.
That should be cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I just wanted to let you guys know and, you know, set you straight about the Tron. And
all right. Hey,
Klingon.
I'm not going to just take it at that. I'm going to investigate this.
Please do. Please do.
All right, Antebert. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Great show.
Thanks, Antebert.
All right, guys, what do you say we get into What's on our TiVos? All right, guys, there's a couple of really bad shows that are on right now, and one of them is called Most Smartest Model on VH1. Have you guys seen this?
No. Oh, that sounds kind of like a ripoff from a Howard Stern bit.
It's basically dumb models, but they're looking for the smartest one. And there's this part where they have to walk out on the catwalk, and they challenge them with something to say as they're doing it. And it's hosted by Ben Stein, so it's a winner. Let's check it out.
Mandy Lynn, your category is things that are round.
Balls. Cherries, balloons, tires, balls, cherries, balloons, tires. Balls, cherries, balloons, tires. Balls,
I think she was
cherries,
supposed to keep
balloons,
other things.
Tires.
Oh, Mandy.
What was the second category? Charities?
Cherries. I said, you know what? Let me come up with just a few, and I'll just repeat them. I thought that that would make it a little easier on me.
To be really honest with you, I don't see you doing fashion modeling, do you know?
I know.
I mean...
what's the word? Kind of porn star.
I'm like, oh, here we go. Porn star. I'm not a friggin' porn star. The guys are terrible. I don't know. We'll see. Time will tell.
That was pathetic. It was just pathetic. I mean, why didn't you say nipples?
Whenever I see Ben Stein, I just think of that beach ball he's got. And it's got red eye.
You have red eyes.
Bueller.
You know,
Bueller.
He was a speechwriter for a president at one point.
Nixon.
Bueller.
Yeah, and now he's on America's most dumb model or whatever.
Smartest model. I love that. Real name as many pathetic round things, and she just keeps going with the same thing.
Balls.
As many
cherries. Balloons. Tires.
Balls.
Cherries. Balloons. Tires. Balls.
And she's walking and spinning. And the
wouldn't open tires technically be cylindrical?
I don't know.
Maybe the outside.
Balls.
Eyeballs. Ben Stein's head.
My implants.
That's not the only show that's on VH1. There's also that I Love New York. It's got a new season. And I'm not really interested in this, except for there's a midget on the show, and his name is Midget Mac. Let's check it out.
I'm going to swoop in like a midget locksmith, yeah.
You do anything for New York?
Damn right. I'll jump in the pool. I can't
midget
even swim.
Midget locksmith?
Like for low doorknobs? I just want to see how you measure up. Just stand up. I'm wearing heels.
You ain't that much taller than me.
I'm not that much taller.
I know you take them heels, though. You're about 2 inches shorter.
You lay down in the bed, you're the same size. I'm not bragging, but every girl that I've done been with says, how's my... so big to be so small.
What is he talking
midget
about?
Midget Mac gone.
I like him.
You got another so midget? Why not?
This is
the
law.
It's
going to be a freaking laughing stock.
It's not
I have giant
they
ears.
They laugh at me anyway.
You going to walk around with a midget?
That midget I'm going to see you at elimination. How about that? I promise you nothing. Midget Mac. I was laughing.
The guy's name is Midget Mac.
And not actually.
How do his parents know he's going to be a midget?
This
is a mistake. This is a pattern trying to stop me from getting my chain. One thing about that.
So, sorry,
I
what?
Getting his chain.
Midget Mac, do you have
he's
love for New York?
Like that
you
know I do. Drink.
Oh, his
tang. I love that stuff. I'm so glad they made it.
Get my midget tang.
Like a midget locksmith.
What's a midget locksmith?
Is he like a cousin of Bushwick Bill?
I'm going to unlock that lock like a midget locksmith.
Is like that, a midget locksmith.
He got like a chastity belt on, like right at his.
He's like, okay, I got these tweezers and I got a bobby pin.
I'm getting to her chastity belt here.
Like a midget locksmith.
Exactly.
Gonna have me some tang. Yeah, the astronauts drink that stuff, by the way, Stevens.
I like me some orange breakfast drink.
Yeah. It is delicious.
Yeah. Oh my God, Tang's coming back. He's a new spokesman. Midget Mac loves Tang. God, I love it.
Gots to get me some Tang.
He's like, when I'm laying down, it's the same size. I'll never mind. It's like, what? Now, this isn't the only bad show on VH1. Apparently, they have a plethora of shit on this channel. And
VH1, the plethora of shit.
Yeah, that's a tagline. But Rock of Loved with Bret Michaels finally ended. And it turns out, you guys, you know, basically he had to pick out the best groupie girl that he would fall in love with or whatever. I don't know. What do you call him? But it turns out he didn't pick the right one on purpose. He's afraid of love because he's had his heart broken before, so he picked the wrong girl. And the girl he picks points it out. You should have picked her because you could have fallen in love with her. And he lets his guard down, and we get to see who the true Bret Michaels is.
I'll be honest, you and Heather laugh about things that I could never, ever understand. You know what I mean? Like, beer nuts or something? Like, what do you guys say? Like, you guys laugh hysterically about it. I'm kind of like, what the hell?
We laugh at everyone. We look at each other and laugh.
Right.
Cry.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Like,
balls to balls.
It's a connection.
Right.
After seeing it, and seen truly how she truly, truly feels and the bond that you guys have. And right. there initially was that chemistry between them. I think Heather was the one, to be honest with you.
Maybe coming out of a long relationship, maybe I wasn't quite ready to completely fall in love.
Can I be honest? I think that's what it is. I think you're scared.
There was a part of me that was
a real thing.
Yeah, I think part of me might have been scared, and that's the truth.
Red, no, you want some action tonight?
The
most mind-numbing thing about that studio audience watching that
with
sure, why not? I'd go.
And candle blows.
He's in love with the other girl and he's afraid. Aww. VH1 once again getting to the heart of the matter. Touching hearts everywhere.
Moment.
Can you guys believe there's another Survivor? How
no.
long? Do they crank these out every 6 months?
Yeah.
It seems like it.
Now it's Survivor.
And you know what? It's like it's not any different. It's the same shit over and over again.
It's Survivor China. Don't they have like populated areas? Like cities and stuff?
There's some populated areas, I'm sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's Survivor China. It's like, hey, try to survive here. You don't know Chinese. They're like, oh, crap.
They have to camp out in rice paddies.
They have to camp out, like, on a regular city block would be great. But apparently
double-decker
here,
bus.
This guy wants to take some seashells home to his mom, but the resident black lady, she wants to throw those seashells out.
Like a midget locksmith.
What?
That's the resident black lady.
Sure. Please do not throw those
I
away.
I wish you would come take them out my hand.
Do not touch them.
I wish you would touch me.
Over the edge. Please do that. I'm saving some of these shells.
Back up off
I'm
me.
I'm saving some
back
of these.
Back up off me.
Would you please?
Back the up off me.
Why would you?
Back up off me.
Back up off me.
Why are you not giving me shells?
Back up off me.
Sure, let me keep some shells.
He wants the seashells.
The last day or so, he's been digging himself a grave further and further and further.
My God, I just asked to save a few of these things if I can take them back to my mom, you know?
And he's just very condescending the way he talks to people, but nobody's going to run over me, talk to me any kind of way.
I pick him to win.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Kitchen Nightmares. Did everyone watch it this week?
Back the fuck up on me.
Whoa, I didn't. What?
I did. Stop up.
Yes.
Now,
bitch.
What I thought was interesting is this was Gordon Ramsay. He was kind of restrained this week. He feels sorry for the owner. He's the son. He's the son running his dad's old restaurant. He's died, and now he picks up the reins, and his heart doesn't really seem into it. He's got his mom always telling him he's doing everything wrong. And
two chefs that won't listen to him.
Yeah, weren't they asses? They just even
yeah. The one guy wouldn't even taste his food.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay is like, that's amazing. You won't taste my.
The other dude looked like Beetlejuice from the Howard Stern.
He's like, that's the.
He's
ultimate.
He's like in a full size version.
He's like, that's
I think it was his dad.
The ultimate insult. You won't try my food, and he's like, oh, I already know what that tastes like. I get the idea. And I love. When
I've been cooking for 35 years. I know what striped bass tastes like.
I've worked in 4-star restaurants. Well, you're not now. Is there a reason why?
You're in the seascape, bud.
When Gordon Ramsay tells him, hey, you got to fire these guys. You got to let them go. Don't you think you'd need to do that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And he goes in there. He does it in such a passive way. He goes, when you guys are off, that's pretty much it.
He goes, you guys are off for tomorrow. And the guy goes, what? Is that it? Work forever?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't say, I'm going to have to let you guys go. You guys are fired. He does it. He waits for them to figure it out, and then he nods, okay, yeah. He's just so passive about it. But my favorite part out of all this is Gordon Ramsay takes him boxing. And he's like, let it out. Let the demons out. And he's punching. And he goes, my dad, he never said he loved me. He never patted me. Dish, dish. And all of a sudden, whenever each blow lands, you see a flash of his dad. Did he love it? That was hilarious. I was like,
that was a little heavy-handed.
I was like, come on. Just like, oh, my dad never loved me.
The guy was such a
scream when you hit.
Never loved me. I hate this restaurant.
What a sack of shit.
But one thing that's funny is you realize Gordon Ramsay probably got through him directly in that way more than probably some therapist could have gotten through to him, like, after years of therapy. He was like, you need to just punch a punching bag and tell me what pisses you off. And he does, and he feels, I feel much better. But my
now use that same energy to run your restaurant.
And didn't you guys, when Gordon Ramsay's like, why do you walk like that? He's like, what are you talking about? He goes, you walk with your head down, you lean forward, and you're just in a hurry.
Kind of slumped
and,
over.
Yeah, I love
like
that.
A baby rhinoceros.
Baby rhinoceros trying to ram things.
He goes,
things.
Try walking normal. And he's walking. He goes, yeah, that's very good. That's very. He still looked real stiff, like just uncomfortable.
He had to bring in the maitre d' of his New York restaurant to show the guy how to walk.
Yeah. The craziest thing out of this whole episode, though, is that they get everything back to, you know, they redo the restaurant. Everything's great. And then they do a weird recap, like 5 months later, he sold the restaurant. Did you guys notice that?
I figured that was coming.
So he wasn't really doing what he wanted to do.
But at least, you know what, if he got it going back, you know, if he got it going so we could make some money out of it, you know.
Yeah.
It probably was more his idea was to
I almost would have expected that from last week, the guy who his wife wanted him to close it.
You know, that's the difference between the British version and the American version is they go back a few months later and he goes and sees how the restaurant's doing.
But that's not until like the last episode of the season. So you never know with this.
Do you think they'll do that at the end of this season?
I thought they were doing it.
Sure, they will.
I thought they did it on every episode. Caught a couple and they went.
It's
were
very
going
similar
back.
To this to these episodes where they say during that week, you know, and it shows everything that was going on during the week behind the scenes,
right?
Like the runs and or whatever, and so. But yeah, normally
I must have just caught those episodes by accident. The ones that it seemed like they were going back every time.
There were, like, entire episodes dedicated to the restaurants, like, revisited. Like, I remember in the first season of the UK version, there was this restaurant called Bonaparte's that was run by this old bitch, and the kid in the kitchen was, like, 16 years old. You know, had no idea how to cook. And then they did an entire episode that was just him going back because the lady was trying to sue him for driving away customers.
Isn't it amazing how often when Gordon Ramsay goes to these places that there's just someone that they need to fire and they just don't do it?
Yeah.
That's how it always is. It's how it always
is
in any company.
This guy is dragging your place down. They're like, we got somebody who comes in every month and cleans the kitchen or whatever. It's like, I don't think so.
Yeah, he just lies straight to his face. Like, we clean it every Tuesday.
And he shows them all this rotten food, and the one thing he shows them, the pesto, and he goes, well, that I am embarrassed about. That is just wrong.
He's like, yeah. I hate this.
The lobster ravioli. He goes, I hate this. You fed me this. You tried to kill me. I love when he prays, oh, God, please don't let me get food poisoning.
Yeah.
How scary is that? This show has educated me. When I go out to eat, I'm just like, if something doesn't taste right, don't ever go to that restaurant again.
If it doesn't look right, number one, going in.
Right. And that's another thing. Gordon Ramsay lets us know. When you pay to eat out, you should be getting an experience. It should be great. It should be nice. See, how many times I've gotten food where it's a little wrong, but I'm like, eh. But Gordon Ramsay, no, send it back. You're supposed to get that shit right. You're paying. This is an experience. It's not just the food. It's the atmosphere. No. It's everything. The decor.
Well, depending on where you're eating at. Is
yeah, I mean,
yeah, I'm not sending my food back at Bennigan's
exactly
or Denny's. Like, this food isn't as delicious as I thought it would be. And this,
but if you're paying top dollar for a meal, yes,
right. Usually you know what you're getting. Like, if I go to like Applebee's, like, there's too much parsley on my plate. You know, something like that. Did you love that? He goes, what's with all the parsley? You get blown up.
I like parsley.
It's dried parsley.
Didn't you love the mom? She's like, I made this cookie special.
I loved when he coughs and powder just goes everywhere.
And he turns to the people. Was that another editing trick, Bill? And he goes,
no, that had me in tears. I don't care if it was an editing trick or
not.
When
he says,
crack up.
He says to the other patrons, he goes, I'm surprised you're all alive. And then shows them reacting. That was great. Now, let's quickly get into Smallville. Or no, let's quickly get into Heroes and then Smallville. Heroes. Much better episode, don't you think, Bill? It's
yeah,
getting better. I like how
a little more comic booky, a little less faux drama.
Did you like the beginning with Siler? And I guess they replaced Missy Peregrine.
Yeah, thank God.
Well, here's
only
what I'm pissed about.
To kill her.
They bring her character back to kill her. Can't you get the actress I hate to die? They have to get
yeah,
some.
Yeah, that would have been more satisfying.
No, because they. Well, if they were going to work with her that long, they're just yeah. like, oh, we got to get somebody that.
But
can
I
act.
I wanted to be satisfied by seeing that actress I hate get killed by a coffee mug or whatever. But I guess that's
maybe
not...
she'll die in Reaper.
Yeah. Okay, so we found out Siler doesn't have powers, and some company is trying to use him for something. Don't know what's going on there. Also, we don't know who put Peter in a container, and now he's helping out the Irish. And but he can pretty much use his powers whenever he gets upset. It looks like or he gets
and
whenever
his body
he's under
can
pressure.
Absorb tattoos.
Yeah, did you like that? It morphs into the symbol and then disappears.
Yeah, but also, it looks like maybe he's like taken Siler's powers because he has powers now that he never had before.
Well, he could. He's
well, because he was around Siler, so he would
yeah.
have.
Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right.
He has
have
whatever
thing that Siler had.
Yeah, and he just doesn't know what Siler has, so he's still...
Why doesn't Siler have those abilities anymore, you think?
I don't know, maybe, like they said something about the surgery they had to give him, or I don't know.
Yeah, your back is healed, but what was with that part? She goes, I could give you whatever.
You know what they did? They tried the cure on him, I bet.
Ah.
Remember how they were talking about how in the next episode... Nikki goes to get a cure.
Right.
Like, she's talking to the guy. So maybe he was their guinea pig.
And he's also apparently in the middle of nowhere. Was he, like, in the Everglades or something?
Who knows?
Wasn't that awkward scene where she's like, I can give you whatever you want. You could be in London, Japan.
Or the two ugliest blondes I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's, like, yeah. obviously bad green screen, and it was just really bad, but... I love the hero stuff with Kinsey.
Yeah, that was better this week.
But wouldn't you... Okay, here's an example of what Heroes does. He takes him someplace. You must fight these crazy Ronin. And cut away to commercial comeback. He survived.
Yeah.
We don't get to see any kind of action, of course.
No, of course not.
We get to see Peter spin around a car, though. A truck. An armored truck.
Yes, wow.
So we got to
attach the tow line to it and drag it.
And action!
Well, you find out that Kinsey has the healing ability.
Right. Now, here's what I... Do you guys think this, too? He's in present day. He's still alive.
He's the Absolute. One that the one that she's dreaming of?
Connor McLeod of the Clan McLeod. No, I think he's a good guy. He's probably a good guy still doing stuff.
And it's the emblem on his sword.
He is who killed Sulu.
Oh, yeah, and...
Yeah, he's
yeah,
the one...
By the way, they never saw that Ando open on the bottom of the sword the entire first season, even though they had it.
They didn't feel those papers, like, shaking around inside the handle.
Yeah, that was a little, what?
But, let's just ignore that. But also, here's the best scene in the whole show. That guy, West, it's such an awkward first name. The writers couldn't give the guy a better name than West.
Go West, young man.
Yeah. He's going to talk to Claire, and he pretty much embarrasses her in class about lizards and stuff, and she runs out crying.
What do you want from me?
I want you to admit you're different.
Okay, fine. I'm a freak, all right?
Claire.
I am such a freak, in fact, that I have to tiptoe around this school pretending to be some brainless Barbie doll so nobody notices how different I am. Because if they found out... I'd be carted off to some human zoo so I could be poked and prodded at for the rest of my life. So, yeah, West, I'm different. And you can tell the world if you want to, because I am tired of pretending to be someone I'm not.
Claire.
Emmy Worley.
Shut up.
Huh?
Shut up.
That's why the friendly skies.
Can you?
That's so gay.
Is that what you thought, too?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I even thought this.
I can't believe we should have seen that at the same time.
I thought this, man, that guy's dreamy. He can fly. He's a nerd like me. And then, you know, she sees the little marking on his neck, and he's like, this guy, he kidnapped me and stuff, and he had horn-rimmed glasses, so she knows her dad's up with... But her dad used to work for the company, so that doesn't mean he's bad.
Yeah, that was prior.
He was just doing his job.
Doesn't she already know that?
He was there when it would happen, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't she know that? She can't be pissed off about him. She can't be pissed about that. She knows what he used to do. He was sorry.
Yeah. She's bipolar.
Yeah. And I love that, Dad, what were to happen if people found out about me? We'd have to leave California immediately. It's like, okay, well, you just give me reason to never tell you when I'm in trouble because I don't want to leave my high school and my new friends. And
I love Wes.
And my Nissan that got stolen last week.
My Nissan Versa!
Yeah, what is it this year? It's not the Versa.
It's not the Versa. I can't remember what it is. It's a new Nissan.
But what is with, okay, Hiro fell in love with that girl who died last year, Charlie. Now he's in love with his new Japanese girl.
See, I'm wondering if something happens there and that's what drives the Kinsei guy kind of to be a bad guy, I guess.
Yeah, it's possible that he always needed Hiro to guide him and so he end up becoming crooked or something. I don't know.
I'm just, or is it like a, like when Peter goes to sleep, he's got the memory of Siler, and he's doing all the other stuff kind of unconsciously.
I liked when he was choking that guy against the wall that he started like, oh, yeah, I'm going to crush his neck. You know,
that's what made me think, okay, could he be doing it unconsciously? He knows also, he's got all these abilities unconsciously.
It's possible, but also the guy just shot him, so he's pissed off also.
Huh.
Wouldn't it have been cool if he did kill him, though? Wait a second. Was that guy?
I hated you in Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That guy was on Enterprise.
Yeah, he was the doctor.
So, I mean, that was better. And also, we learned that Jessica has the Hero's disease, I guess. And they're going to help cure her. Ned Ryerson's going to.
Ned
Ryerson?
Come here.
But you're going to have to do some bad things for us. Oh, and did you like the revealing of one of Isaac's missing 8 paintings was HRG dead?
Yeah.
Dum-dum-dum.
They're going to reveal them just before something can happen.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, this much more happened in this episode, and I was glad. Siler, I love that he kills the chick, and once he's like, London, England, France. No, it doesn't work. My powers are gone.
He runs out, and then, no!
I'm in the middle of nowhere! All there is a Coke machine in here! Damn!
I had this chick pretending to be hot.
They finally gave us what we wanted last season, to show her fat body on the ground, but too little too late, heroes, people. It would have been clever last season. It's not anymore, because you gave us a chance to think of the idea. You're supposed to show us the neat ideas before we think of them ourselves, right?
Exactly.
So, no reward for that. And it wasn't even the actress that I hate, because I would have liked to have seen her get killed. Okay, let's talk about a better show, much better than any of the shows we ever talk about, Smallville. And the Miss Corn... What? What was it?
Miss Sweet Corn Pageant.
Yeah.
Miss Corn...
Miss Cornhole... Cornholio?
Okay. I am Cornholio!
Yeah, that was bad. Wow. I was hoping we'd get through the whole, like, history of our show without that. A Beavis and Butthead reference.
Tippy for my bunghole! Bunghole!
So we have the two chicks who can control weather.
Well, technically three chicks.
Yeah, but she's like, she wants out. She doesn't want to compete this year, so they freeze her to death.
Yeah, they kill her.
Why? What? Why so would she want out?
Who cares?
Why are they competing in this?
They want to get... What they're doing is they're trying to get the map to a treasure that's been buried somewhere in Smallville.
Yeah, so why not just take it?
Who knows?
It's kind of the stuff.
They're creating... I mean, it's a whole ruse to get... what's her name in a bikini?
Right.
Exactly.
They get Supergirl. And it kind of reminds me of, like, even on Heroes this week, the guy, when he pulls a gun on the Irish dude, and he's like... Give me that suitcase full of money. And he's holding a gun to me. He goes, no. And he goes, give it to me. It's like, you've got a gun. Walk over there, pick up the case, and leave. What is the deal with that?
Like
what is the deal
the
with
tornado
that?
Tornado girl couldn't have, like, spun the case open, or the freezy girl couldn't have froze it, you know, and cracked it open.
Right. Yeah, anything. You know, across the tornado to haul it off, and it would be less suspicious.
Now, the scene where Lana shows up to Clark's barn to talk to him, I went to the restroom, Stephen. What happened in that scene?
Oh, all kinds of goodness.
Yeah.
Well, Lana, you're alive. Yes, I am. It just goes on and on and on.
She's yeah,
why
she,
didn't you tell
said,
me?
You know, he's like, we can tell Chloe. He's like, no, cause she says no because she's still wanted for some sort of murder or something.
Yeah. Did you like? I do like that Clark can tell her the truth now, right?
Yeah. Now it's just a matter of days until she actually dies.
Right. But how great was it when Supergirl sees Jimmy for the first time? What was that? She's
that's
like, yowza!
Every time I see him.
Yeah, it's like, woo! He's hot! Yes!
There's going to be a fight between Chloe and Supergirl.
Balls, cherries, balloons, tires.
Tires! That would have been great if Supergirl was doing that in that scene. So they... It's just so...
Yeah, walking in the red bikini.
Balls, cherries...
Yeah. Well, the scene where they're competing, and did you love that? Supergirl wins the contest. She's Miss Corn. What?
Miss Sweet Corn.
Why can't that get in my head? But then she's like, you're going to have to come with us to handcuff her on stage.
The police just walks out all of a sudden on stage like,
Freya, I'm sorry about interrupting the show there, but we're arresting Miss Sweet Corn. We have some... Why can't they
your
just
friends
question
have turned you in?
Yeah. What?
They couldn't have waited until she stepped off stage. I guess it wouldn't have been as dramatic.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't do that close-up shot on Clark going, this is interesting.
Well, that whole scene, they're walking around in bikinis and stuff, they just keep showing Clark and he's just standing there like, the director didn't really give me any information with the scene. I'm just going to stand here. So
after she got arrested and they went to Clark's face, I was waiting for the wah.
Well, it's like this anonymous girl who we've never seen in town before wins. She has no social security card or birth certificate, but she wins. No one knows who she is.
Wow.
Yeah.
But also Lex, he figures out who Kara is. Didn't you love that? The black dude comes in and he's like, she was exactly where you said she'd be. Clark's barn! That's all you have to ever look! Go to his barn!
Everything's there!
Yeah, all the secrets you could ever know!
There's a spaceship! There's...
But the best part about this whole episode, we got another Grant... What is that guy's name? Grant Gabriel.
Grant Gabriel!
What did he call
the... How you doing, Ken?
The Costa!
Hey, Costa! What are you doing, Costa? Ah, this is a great picture. A frozen debutante. Investigate
that. About time he did some good.
He sees the picture on her desk for 2 seconds and goes, what do you got here? Frozen debutante. Ah, good. Go investigate that.
No, frozen beauty queen.
Who uses the term debutante
anymore?
Yeah,
frozen beauty queen. Debutante would have been better.
Yeah, debutante would have been better, but it was a frozen beauty queen.
And unfortunately, Lois was off this week from work. I guess.
Maybe she's investigating something. She's undercover.
Yeah, she's undercover in a strip club or something somewhere.
Well, she's in New York.
But who cares about this episode? Next week, Dean Cain.
Well, they saved all the special effects. The special effects were really poor in
this
one.
Like when he's like, they show up and they have that emblem, the Kryptonian emblem, and he's like, that doesn't belong to you. And she's like, oh, yeah? She creates a tornado, and oh, crap, meteor rocks are in it. Kryptonite.
Oh, no. Oh, no, meteor rocks under the gas station.
And he falls to the ground like, oh. I expect him to go, you got to be kidding me. God, this shit is everywhere.
Yeah, at this point.
But I love Kara shows up and kicks their ass, and he goes, don't come near it. It'll kill you. And she goes, it explodes in, like, Kryptonian mist and shards of glass like embed on his face. Shouldn't he have been like,
that would have been better if like green kryptonite just embedded into his
like,
face.
Like, I inhaled kryptonite dust.
So is it that easy to get rid of? Just burn it? Well,
he could have been doing that this whole time.
Yeah.
They should have showed him go, oh.
That would have been great. A light bulb above his head.
Yeah, literally a drawn in light bulb.
Yeah. But I love how she shows up, Kara, and she just kicks their asses real quick. And he goes, you handled that different than I would have. You got to let them say a speech first and kind of talk for a while. Then let them beat you up for a bit and then find your inner strength. Then kick their ass. No, I just decided to, you know, thought that was good.
No, I don't need to. I can beat their ass right away.
But next week, Dean Cain plays a doctor who's euthanizing his patients. Hey, did they steal this idea from Battlestar Galactica? Remember that Hilo episode?
Yes.
All right, Bill, we're kind of short on time, so let's go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll do the news. What do you say?
All right.
Let's do it. We'll be right back, everybody.
I got some Tartar Control toothpaste. I still got Tartar, but that shit's under control. I got so much Tartar, I don't have to dip my fish sticks in shit. That's actually kind of gross, you know? After that joke, I always clarify that I'm just joking. I don't know how much Tartar I actually have. I believe it's the average amount. I would like to go fishing and catch a fish stick. That would be convenient. I could easily get a job with Mrs. Paul's. They just put me in a boat with some empty boxes. And I will return them to the freezer section of your neighborhood grocery store. You know, there's a fishing show on TV. They catch the fish, but they let it go. They don't want to eat the fish, but they do want to make it late for something. Where were you? I got caught. Bullshit. Let me see the inside of your lip. Fish are always eating other fish. If fish could scream, the ocean would be loud as shit. You would not want to submerge your head. Nothing but fish going, ah, fuck. I thought I looked like that rock.
die.
All right, we're back, and we're dead, I guess.
Yes, we are. Crashed right into a moon.
We die.
You know, it really sucks to have to crash through a moon.
Shut up.
Especially when you're killed by one person.
Yeah. Alex
and a lizard
Rogan.
With a turtle head.
I love Greg. My favorite part about that when he has his family pictures. Did you like that?
Yeah. They all look the same.
They're like in some rocky terrain. They live on under vacation. Rocks, I guess. Yeah.
They all live on flat rocks. This is my wife rocks, and my 1,000 like kids.
All right, Bill, you ready to do the news?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Going to be a freaking laughing stock.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
Week.
It's a week.
A 6-year-old boy who tried to drive his grandmother's car to Applebee's said he won't do it again. Josh Barber said he was hungry for some chicken nuggets and woke when he woke up early Tuesday while his grandmother was still sleeping. His mother's recovering from surgery at the time, and his father is still at work. So he took the car keys, unlocked the car, moved his child seat to the driver's seat so he could see better, and he tried to drive off. Unable to take the car out of reverse, he backed up 75 feet from the house into a transformer. Optimus Prime, in fact. knocking out electricity and phone service to dozens of townhouses in suburban north of Denver.
So why did they mention Applebee's? Did he say that's where he intended to go?
Yeah, he wanted to go to Applebee's for chicken nuggets.
Well, what's wrong with McDonald's?
I guess he wanted to go to Applebee's. So they interviewed him and said, I hit the gas, I crashed into these things, and when that happened, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, what you do is you get out of the car and just run.
Put the child back in the bag.
Yeah, go back to bed. You know nothing about it.
It wasn't me. I was dead at the time.
I was asleep.
So this is really kind of weird. A man who apparently was worried about a random drug test asked an 11-year-old boy at a mall for a urine sample. White Plains Police says Marcos De La Cruz, 42, was charged with endangering the welfare of a child. He was arrested several hours after the incident in the men's room at the mall on Wednesday. What the hell is he still doing there? Deputy Public Safety Commissioner Daniel Jackson said De La Cruz took the sample to his appointment with his probation officer. The 11-year-old boy told his mother that a man in the men's room had asked him to urinate in a bottle. The mom called police and the boy described the man.
Wow. So does he, like, collect it, or...
Yeah. Can I have some of your piss?
I'll meet you back here Wednesday for some urine.
Holy crap.
That's weird.
And the kid's just like, yeah, here, let me take a piss in your bottle. No problem.
I'm squirting your butt with a water hose.
Huh?
A pizza delivery man who sought treatment in an emergency room after being injured in a holdup attempt recognized one of his attackers when he suspects sought medical attention at the same hospital. The victim, 28, was trying to deliver a pizza Tuesday when a man pointed a gun at him. The Pizza Hut employee grabbed for the gun and attempted to wrest it from the first suspect when a second suspect hit the victim in the face. The delivery man managed to pistol whip the first suspect with the gun, hitting the suspect in the head several times. The victim fled and later sought medical help for injuries that included bruises and bite marks. At the hospital, we recognized the suspect who sought treatment for injuries he suffered from the pistol whipping. Hey, I know that guy! That's the guy at the freaking
pistol end in his head.
I mean, that's got to suck to get pistol whipped.
It's got to suck to get pistol whipped and then have the guy that pistol whipped you find you. A burglar has... it says the burglar steals food, leaves valuables. This thief apparently had quite the appetite. Appleton police received a call Wednesday of a burglary, not of valuables, but of food. The burglar apparently entered the unlocked apartment and walked away with a pizza, six eggs, a can of beef ravioli, a can of peaches, one chicken and broccoli hot pocket.
Okay.
And a carton of milk.
Loaf of bread.
You need that milk to wash down that chicken and broccoli hot pocket.
Okay.
The crime apparently occurred in the morning between 8:30 and 9:30. Police had no immediate suspects. Then why report it? We don't know who did it, but this dude stole this lady's hot pocket.
Have you guys noticed, not even just a stupid thing like this, but more and more I see on the news that something happened and they say the police have no leads at this time. And it's like, huh?
Then why not keep it internal?
Yeah.
Yeah, do we really need to know
this story? Or maybe they're doing the, tell them we have no leads, they'll think they're in the clear, but really, we know where they're at right now.
They're looking for the guy with the munchies with the broccoli and cheese hot pocket.
Bang.
If you see...
Ladesh.
See anyone with remnants of a broccoli and chicken hot pocket, tell it, please.
Delicious.
Call 1-800-BUSTERS. A drunken Mexican priest punched a cop.
Huh?
Interesting. A Mexican priest briefly ended up behind bars after punching a policeman who caught him driving drunk through the streets of the northern city of Monterrey. Priest Manuel Raul Ortega, oh, I love his taco stuff, who was not wearing clerical dress but was clutching a prayer book when captured, launched himself at the traffic cop who pulled him over earlier this week. The individual became very violent because they were going to tow away his car. He attacked a policeman and was taken away, said Transit Department spokesman Hector Loenzo on Thursday. Ortega's papers identified him as a priest. He was released a few hours after his arrest after paying fines for his offenses. Great. Like a priest that likes the...
We're at war!
A priest that likes the sacramental wine a little too much. I'm going to go drive around and pray. Japanese officials are now on a samurai diet.
Really?
Overweight local government officials in Japan have slimmed down with a 3-month samurai diet, soldiering on despite a fellow samurai's death. Oh. The mayor of the city of Aiz in West Japan and 6 officials joined forces as the 7 metabolic samurai after Akira Kurosawa's 7 Samurai movie to fight the so-called metabolic syndrome, excess belly fat, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. The program took an unexpected and unfortunate turn when one of the samurai, a 47-year-old city official, died in August from heart failure.
Like a midget locksmith.
Jogging. Great. The remaining samurai continued with the plan, which involved eating healthy food and exercising. When the program ended on Thursday, the mayor had shed 12 pounds. Wow, that's it? What a loser.
The samurai are very patient.
Yeah, they are, and I guess they don't really do well with diets because they either die or they don't lose any weight.
They just they lose it very slowly while painting.
Should have the samurai diet. You eat what you kill with your sword. That's your diet.
Yeah.
Nice. So if you killed another person with it, would you have to eat them?
Good eating.
Huh?
I mean, no.
Samurai Cannibal?
Oh my god, that's a good movie title! Samurai Cannibal! It's like in the next Grindhouse. Samurai Cannibal.
He uses his sword as the shish kebab for him. Cook him.
On a spicy? That'd be a sight. A Hudson Valley homeowner says a neighbor attacked her lawn display, 3 inflatable ghosts and a pumpkin, then apparently smashed his head through her window in a pre-Halloween rage she finds mystifying.
Good lord.
Really? She finds that mystifying?
Listen, you stupid fat mouth
Bring me a ticket here.
So state police said officers found a drunken John Odie, 43, inside Don Garcia's house in the town of Lloyd on Thursday night, arrested him after a brief struggle, and charged him with burglary. He was sent to Ulster County Jail with the bail set at $25,000. Garcia told the Middleton Times Herald Record she heard hollering and swearing and looked outside to see Odie struggling with an inflatable decoration. He was enraged. I could see that, she said. When she yelled at him to go away, Odie charged the house. She fled through the back door with three of her children and heard window glass breaking. She called 911 from another neighbor's house. Police said Odie used his head to smash a window to get in. What made him do that, I don't know, Garcia said. We had the same decoration up last year, and it didn't bother him.
Maybe he was like, get a new one! The same old shit!
Inflatable ghost. Tired of this inflatable pumpkin!
Are you looking at me?
I didn't say anything last year. I hated it. This year, no.
You damn
got
inflatable
this giant pumpkin and won't make me any pumpkin pie.
I hate pumpkins because they're delicious.
I'm gangsta.
And I'm going to bash my head through this window because I feel like it, damn it. Dentist accused of fondling the breasts of 27 female patients is trying to keep his dental license by arguing chest massages are an appropriate procedure in certain cases.
A chest massage.
In fact, chest massages are always appropriate. Mark Anderson's lawyer says dental journals discuss the need to massage the pectoral muscles to treat a common jaw problem.
Yeah.
Police say Anderson said during recorded phone calls,
and I think you're a fantastic personality,
that he constantly massaged patients' chest to treat temporomandibular joint disorder, or TMJ, which causes neck and head pain
and masturbating.
Attorney Robert Zadaro, no relation to Robert Zadar, told administrative law judge Jonathan Liu at a hearing Thursday that he should let Anderson keep his dental license while disciplinary appeals proceed. Anderson would be supervised by two assistants and would no longer do the chest rubs.
Hey, it's part of my medical procedure, but okay, if you want to risk it, no more chest massage. No, but hey, you're risking your life there, but okay.
It really helps.
I'm going to
your jaw will feel so much better.
Procedure.
So will my penis. Zaro said Anderson, 48, of Woodland, needs to keep seeing patients so he can feed his seven children and pay for his defense. Seven children?
No wonder he's
good Lord, man. You ever heard of freaking protection? Something? The pill?
You took a good call, bro.
The judge made no immediate decision. Lou suspended Anderson's dental license last month. He was charged with two misdemeanor counts of battery and sexual assault. Yolo County prosecutors are investigating complaints from more than two dozen women who say they were also groped in the examining chair in the last 5 years. Oh. Deputy Attorney General Jeffrey Phillips gave Lou three new complaints, including one from a 30-year-old woman who said Anderson fondled her at least six times over the 2 years. Wow, he must have really liked her. She took to wearing tight shirts with high necklines, and Anderson would still get in under her shirt and bra. No way!
This dude was doing it under
the shirt and bra? He's a freaking genius.
That's gold, Jerry. Gold!
Unbelievable. I thought he was just, like, doing it over the shirt.
The nerve of this guy.
That's hilarious.
Far out.
That is far out. I can't believe that women would just lay there and let him rub their boobs under their shirts.
Six different times she went back for it.
That's incredible. And she just kept going back. Like, I really like this dentist a lot. He makes my jaw feel better. But he rubs my bristuses.
Did he find out?
All right, Bill, keep going.
Well, I think that's all the news I have printed out for this week. Kind of ripped through a couple stories here.
All right. Well, what do you say we get into the DVDs?
Yes, let's do DVDs.
Ow! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! HD Blu-ray is in the definition! DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
Balls. Cherries. Balloons. Tires.
Balls. Cherries. Balloons. Tires.
Balls. Cherries. Balloons. Tires. Balls. Cherries. Balloons. Tires.
Okay.
All right, one of these things are not like the other. One of these things don't go at all. Okay. DVDs for October 16th, 2007.
Yes.
Let's start from the top here.
So how are you, crazy bitches?
Wow, that's quite a introduction. Thank you. Now, I don't know what the hell this is, but it's called Believers, and it's looks like some kind of crazy cult movie.
Is that with Martin Sheen?
I don't know.
The Believers. Isn't that what
it's called? No, this is just Believers. Oh. I think it's one of those raw feed films that Warner Brothers have been doing. Supposedly, it's directed by the guy that did the Blair Witch Project.
I have a funny story about The Believers, but not Believers. I remember we were looking... You know, remember back in the day, VHS, you're walking around forever in Blockbuster looking for a movie, and you just don't know what to pick. And so every once in a while, someone's like, hey, can I help you find something? Someone's like, hey, I don't know what movie to get. And I remember my dad said that. Do you recommend any movies? There's nothing new on the new wall. Everything's checked out. And he goes, have you seen The Believers? And we're like, no. And this is all he said. He goes, get ready.
Oh, boy.
And my dad was like, really? Is that good? And he goes, get ready. That's all I'm going to say. So we sit through this piece of shit, and we're ready, and nothing ever happens. What were we getting ready for? I still want
to
know.
Getting ready to get ready.
What were we getting ready for?
For the next Believers 2.
The Believers. Awesome. Well, I'll check it out. Does it say get ready on the cover? Get ready.
No, I'm sorry,
Believers.
Get ready to get ready. Next film is a Japanese film that I just recently imported like a month ago. And if I would have known it was coming out here, I would have just waited. It's called Casern. It's kind of based on a an old manga series, and it kind of looks like Sky Captain.
All right.
Oh, really?
And it's like kind of future late 21st century thing. It's really kind of cool. It's really impossible to describe, but visually, it's just absolutely incredible looking. Story-wise, a little weak. But if you like to, you know, watch stuff that's
pretty...
It's just
cool visuals, yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool visuals. Next DVD is the Chuck Norris Collection.
Yes! Thank you, God! You have answered my prayers! Just
and
tell
it's
me...
only 25 bucks.
How many movies
is it? Did you want to know what's in it?
Top Dog?
No, I'm sorry.
The Octagon?
No...
Good Guys Wear Black?
M.I.A.
No.
What the hell?
Oh, yes. Yes. It's got Delta Force 2, Missing in Action, and Missing in Action 2 and 3.
Those aren't his good movies. Good Guys Wear Black. The Octagon. A Force of One. A Force of One. Look at
Invasion USA. Sidekicks.
Top Dog. Wipeout.
I'm definitely buying this. I don't own any of these.
And they're all directed by his brother.
So for $25, I get five classic canon films.
Awesome. And I believe... now, if anyone's seen this recently, I haven't. Missing in Action 2. But They directly steal some of the Road Warrior soundtrack.
Oh, really?
Like, just outright theft. So, anybody who's seen that recently, confirm that for me.
That's awesome. next DVD is a film called Crazy Love. It's a documentary about this...
I've heard of this.
Insane people
this
in love.
Doctor who gets in this obsessive relationship with this woman and ends up marrying her, but the guy is like a psychotic wacko. I don't want to get into the story of it because it's basically one big spoiler. If you know what the story is, you know what happens.
Right.
But if you want to see a really kind of bizarre true story it's just really good, and it's like into the mind of crazy people and how they justify things.
They're just so crazy enough to stay together.
Yeah, put it on your Netflix queue. It's called Crazy Love.
Never ever understand.
Next DVD, the one I'm ready for, Half Pint Brawlers. Get ready for a new kind of extreme fighting.
Like midget locksmith.
Is Midget Mac in it?
I don't know, but it's midgets. Wrestling.
He's a midget locksmith.
And that's got to be awesome.
A midget wrestler.
He's a midget locksmith.
Like a midget locksmith.
But I guess he could throw down if he need be.
Now, do you guys remember the straight to video film called Havoc with Bijou Phillips and
yes.
Anne Hathaway?
You kidding? That's on every night on Showtime.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I need
much.
To watch Showtime more. Anne Hathaway in HD.
Yeah, it's not a good movie.
No, it's not a good movie at all, but it's got Anne Hathaway topless multiple times.
Yeah, it's just
Hello.
Not worth it. Just record that one section and never watch the movie. You know?
Exactly. So anyways, I guess they decided they need to do a second one called Havoc 2, Normal Adolescent Behavior. And it's direct-to-video, and it's not rated, and
is
it's starring Amber Tamblyn.
Oh, is it Havoc 2 NAB? And it ...
No, it says Normal Adolescent Behavior.
Oh, so...
So it's got some chick named Kelly Garner and Amber Tamblyn and some dudes, and I guess they're sex addicts or something? I don't know.
Dick.
But I guess that's what they crave.
Huh?
So I guess... Amber Tamblyn doesn't want to be Joan of Arcady anymore. She wants to be known for doing straight-to-video sex movies.
Do you think when movies like this happen, was it intended for theaters and then it ended up getting released? Or do they do...
I don't know.
Like, do you guys think the new Day of the Dead that we talked about, that's coming out, that's going straight to DVD, isn't it?
Probably.
Is it ever coming out in theaters, seriously? Probably
not. I really don't know.
If they do, it'll be a short release right around Halloween time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hmm. Did you guys... Now, this one kind of flew over my head.
Die.
It's called The Hoax with Richard Gere. It was directed by Lasse Hallström.
Yes. Fantastic movie from what I hear.
Really? No, it's coming out on DVD. If it was released, I completely missed it.
It's about the guy who... The hoax was he said he was writing... With Howard Hughes,
right.
His biography, and he was lying about everything just to cash in, sell the book rights, get all this money. And
cool.
He had to just keep lying, and he was a great liar, apparently. But I heard it's Richard Gere's performance of a lifetime.
Cool. I'm definitely going to have to see it then. Next DVD, I know, you know, people were really wanting this, and finally they get it. Hollow Man Director's Cut.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hollow Man. Director's cut.
Yeah. There you go.
You know what annoys the shit out of me about that movie?
Vision was.
It really annoyed the shit out of me in that movie was the fact that they have those three or those heat vision goggles where they could see Hollow Man. And it's like, well, you know, he's not around right now. So I'm just going to lock these goggles away in this drawer till he turns up later. They don't just leave them on the whole time.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, we have a phone call. Hello? You there? Is anybody...
Hey, Mulberry. It's Swiley. What's up?
Swiley!
Hey,
Swiley! What are you doing here?
Hey, I'm just calling in, seeing how you're doing.
You dirty, filthy cyborg.
Tonight, so.
You missed our show, huh?
Yeah, I'm just tuning in now. Actually, I'm in my car, so I'm not really tuning in, unfortunately, which really sucks. But
oh, you want to just listen to the rest while you're on the phone?
I just wanted to say hey, and I really enjoy your show.
Swiley, we love your feedback, by the way, so keep doing it.
Yes.
I try to be relevant and informative.
Very informative.
And a general,
my
smart ass.
Feedback.
You give great feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I try.
Much better than that guy on Who Wants to Be a Super... Okay, I'll just stop right there.
He went where I was going to, and I stopped myself.
You guys are so funny.
All right, too much sarcasm, Swiley. You went overboard.
Sorry.
We die.
Exactly.
All right, well, I'm bailing out.
All right, thanks, Swiley. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
Keep on listening. Good times. All right, Bill, what other DVDs we got?
If you love the Home Alone movies, why not pick up all four in one?
Oh.
1, 2, 3, and... I had no idea there was a fourth one. I knew
neither
there was a third one.
The third one, it's like, we don't need that Macaulay, Brad. Just recast it. All we need is slapstick.
That Linz kid, Alex D. Linz or something.
He's still around, too. He kept acting.
I kind of liked the third one when I saw it, just on HBO. It was a little more original than the first one and the second one. But the second one had the homeless lady that liked pigeons. So that was good.
You like the third one?
Dude, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. You know what? Saw the first one in the theater.
So did I.
And I saw
the second one in the theater.
And it was a fine movie. It's just like, haha, it's fun for the whole... There's people like, like stomping on the floor,
oh
laughing.
Oh my God, he just set Joe Pesci's head on fire. Oh my God, it's hilarious.
This slapstick is out of control. The wet bandits, oh my God.
The wet bandits.
I just, I was like, well, dude, I'm not getting it. It's not that funny. Whatever. And
you need to watch The Stooges. You guys would die.
And isn't it because of these films that John Hughes was like, big fat paycheck, never have to work again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I wish he would do more movies, though.
I miss John Hughes.
I bet you his movies would suck nowadays, though. He's out of touch.
There's always that much-rumored sequel to Breakfast Club where they're older.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Or even, have you heard the latest rumblings, as they say? The Ferris Bueller sequel?
Yeah, that's one I've heard of recently.
That's what Matthew Broderick needs to revive his friggin' career.
Yeah, none of those will ever happen, will they?
No. Just like the Goonies sequel.
That I want.
I want it too, but it will never happen.
Yeah, you know why? Because friggin' Chunk lost all of his weight. He's not funny anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Like, Chunk, you need to gain those pounds. Like, no way, dude. It took my whole life to get skinny.
Chunk Funk.
Exactly.
What was that? Do the chubby shuffle or something?
The truffle shuffle.
Truffle shuffle. Okay, so next DVD is The Invisible. And I guess it's a
Major
David Goyer
issues.
Film.
You know what? David Goyer did that?
Yeah. Huh.
The commercials looked intriguing. I don't know.
He had to solve his own murder.
Okay.
This is basically he's beaten to death in the woods, but maybe he's not dead.
He's not quite dead, or he gets a second chance at life or something. Who knows?
As long as it's better.
So like he's in limbo.
Yeah.
If it's better than Blade 3, then I'm in.
Well, anything got to be better than that. But I did like Jessica Biel and her iPod.
Yeah, she's got to load it up. Because there's, vampires.
Yeah, you gotta have your music.
Yeah, you don't need to hear the vampires come up behind you, I guess.
No, not at all. Just throw those earbuds in.
Those earbuds. What's even worse, they show, not only is she doing her iTunes in the thing, it's like lightning quick iTunes. She can download, 1,000 songs in seconds. It's like Daryl where he's playing Pole Position.
But the songs only last... second, or the fights only last seconds.
She's badass. Awesome.
Yep. This one's for Credo, the jazz singer, deluxe edition.
Free! We were born to be free! Is it that one?
No.
Oh.
It's the original jazz singer, not the freaking Neil Diamond.
Damn!
Al Jolson.
We coming to America. Boom, boom. Oh, it's the Al Jolson one.
Yeah, you know, Mammy.
Body, that stuff.
How I love you, how I love you, my dear old
Johnny. Wasn't this the first talkie, the jazz singer?
I don't know.
I think it was. Okay, that had a lot to do with it. So
what the?
Yeah, it's a 3-disc deluxe edition. It doesn't detail anything that, you know, has to do with it, but I think it's probably a pretty important film for film fans to know that it's out there. So that's why I'm reading it. And just as important for TV fans, Medium, the complete 3rd season. If you can't get enough Snaggletooth, this'll fill it. I'm telling you, man, Patricia Arquette has those freaking snaggle teeth.
Quick time. Stage right.
If Bryan Kirsten Dunst were in the same film, it would be Snaggletooth overload.
No, I swear to God, because you always say this about the Kirsten Dunst. Last time she was, I was watching a movie in high definition, and I was freeze framing it, and I'm like, what is wrong with her teeth? There's nothing wrong with her teeth.
There's nothing wrong?
There's nothing wrong with her teeth.
Did she have them fixed?
Leave us exit stage left.
I don't know.
Dude,
I don't see anything wrong with them.
But dude, she's got friggin' canines like Dracula.
Oh, you're thinking of the vampire movie. Those weren't real.
No, shut up. Those weren't real.
He vanished into skinny air.
No, I'm telling you, Kirsten Dunst has snaggle teeth. I don't care.
They're not anymore. I don't see them. I don't see them. What is your definition of snaggle teeth?
Maybe we'll check on Spider-Man 3. And
they're not there.
If she doesn't have them there, maybe she had them fixed.
Now, what is snaggle teeth? Is it like the front teeth kind of stick out? Or
yeah,
maybe
exactly.
When she was younger, they were a little
snaggle,
crooked.
Snaggle and stuff.
They're definitely not snaggle teeth.
Okay, well, maybe
Patricia Arquette.
Those are snaggle teeth. She could use a whole roll of floss and
leave us exit stage left.
A snaggle puss, Foggy. God.
But it works.
Take the cane and do a jig.
I was thinking about going back and buying every season of MacGyver, but now I don't need to because they're releasing the complete series.
Yes.
39 discs.
It is complete.
You used to be MacGyver, MacGadget, McGimmick. Now you're Mr. McUseless.
23 minutes of MacGyver.
Genius. You know, MacGyver's been ruined, though.
How so?
You know, the funny references. Just been done to death.
Do you remember that one episode of MacGyver where he uses the paperclip to pull that woman's dress down? At the party?
No.
Yeah, I remember that
My
one.
Favorite one is he made swamp gas bombs. He took some bamboo, he plugged up one end of the bamboo, he stuck it in the swamp for a bit, then he patched up the other end with mud and stuck a blade of grass, lit it, threw it, it blew up. It was awesome!
He lit a blade of grass?
It was like his fuse. He goes, what are you doing, MacGyver? Making swamp gas bombs. So he starts hurling these bamboo, and they're like...
Bamboo sticks, dynamite sticks.
I thought maybe he would fart.
And, you know, they did like on the A-team, he throws the swamp gas bomb, and then you see two guys go, whoa! They like fly through the air. It was awesome.
I didn't know swamp gas bombs were so volatile.
Oh, those things are dangerous. If I remember in a swamp, I'm going to do it. But I got to find the bamboo, too. So.
Yeah, that's normally bamboo isn't in swamps. Unless you're a rice paddy in China.
I think there was one of those oriental calendars and you used the bamboo from it.
Oh, okay.
What, Steve?
Next DVD is A Mighty Heart, the Angelina Jolie movie where she plays a black woman.
Huh?
And her husband is... Yeah.
I've never heard of this. The Al Jolson story?
This is the movie where, about the reporter that got executed by that wacko.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. I didn't know the lady was black that she was playing.
Yeah, she is. So, yeah, this is A Mighty Heart.
I heard she's great in it.
I've heard good. I've heard it's depressing.
You know, so, sometimes we forget that she's an actress because there's so much other horse shit that comes along with that.
That's very true.
Stuff, but she's a great actress. Just stop doing Tomb Raider movies, for the love of God.
Nice.
They all suck.
The Raquel Welch Collection, and I love the cover. It says Sex Goddess Raquel Welch Collection. And it has 1 Million Years B.C., Bandolero, Maya Breckenridge, Mother Jugs and Speed, and Fathom.
Whatever happened to Tawny Welch, her daughter who was in Cocoon, who was had her same good looks, but do you think she never really wanted to be an actress or something?
Probably.
Like, Mom, I don't want to. Come on, Steven Spielberg is producing this. You're going to do it. Ron Howard's directing it. I don't even know if Spielberg produced it.
Steve Guttenberg is in it, for Christ's sake, honey.
He's the biggest star in the world.
Freaking Mahoney!
Mahoney is doing this.
Next TV is The Reaping with Hilary Swank.
Oh,
the man lady.
Did that look bad? Yeah, are you going to kill my daughter? Legs. No, I won't kill your daughter. Why not? Dun, dun, dun. Oh, my God. She's the devil.
But that little jailbait chick is in it, that Anna Sophia Robb that was in Bridge to Terabithia.
Okay, Bill, you're getting into weird territory.
Like a midget locksmith.
Yeah, you're acting like a midget locksmith. What does that even mean?
Planet Terror extended and unrated, just in time for the announcement of Robert Rodriguez and Rose McGowan's marriage.
Are you serious? He dumped his wife?
They're getting married.
His wife produced all of his films. Did she not see what was going on the set?
I guess not. I guess she's kind of deaf, dumb, and blind.
Dude, I've heard enough interviews with the Marilyn Manson about how crazy this chick is. He does not know what he's getting into. I remember he said that she stole his patio furniture.
Okay, you're talking about a guy who got drugs tested on him so he could write a movie.
Hey, he's dedicated.
No, you're saying she's crazy.
Oh, about Robert Rodriguez, I get you.
I think the craziness might equal out.
I thought
there.
You were talking about Marilyn Manson for a second. Oh, sorry. But anyway, I didn't know about that, Bill. You just shocked me.
Yeah, I just read about that today, actually.
That's sad.
So this has Planet Terror, you know, with a extended and uncut, of course, with commentary from Robert Rodriguez, audience reaction track. So, like, you're in the movie theater watching.
Yeah, he did that with Sin City. That was cool for, like, 15 minutes, then it turned it off.
Yeah. International trailer, poster gallery. The second disc is a 10-minute film school with Robert Rodriguez.
I always love those.
And a bunch of little featurettes about the guys and the girls in the movie and the stunts in the movie.
Robert Rodriguez breakfast tacos. Does he do a cooking segment on this one?
It doesn't say that he does, but
now,
I would hope there.
Now, let me ask you guys this. Is he going to put Rose McGowan in all of his movies now?
Oh, yeah.
Gee, what?
You know, that was like the worst. Remember Clint Eastwood? The reason why he didn't win Oscars in his earlier films is because he was in love with that Sandra Locke horror fest and putting her in every movie. Do you think his
friends
are like...
Talk about man-woman.
So, Clint, who are you going to get for the actress? Sandra, she's going to be in it. It's just like, oh, okay.
Who's going to be the lead actress in this one?
Sandra Locke. Great.
I think Clyde was more attractive than Sandra Locke.
Isn't there
I love
anyone...
Clyde, except he was always eating those damn Oreos.
You damn dirty ape.
I love that woman.
Right turn, Clyde.
Those are the best movies ever.
They were. I'm just shocked to find out that later on that Philo Bedder's brother is a Scientologist.
I know, it's horrible. Scientologist and the father of Juliet Lewis.
Scary.
Roseanne, the complete 9th season. So, yeah, wow. Some Like It Hot, Collector's Edition.
Yes.
So like your drag comedy.
You know
Tony
it.
Tony Bennett, Jack Lemmon.
Tony Curtis.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Who'd I say?
Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett, jeez.
That's fine.
Well, they don't look the same.
With me. Oh, wait. I got
that. What?
Nothing.
Were you singing?
No, I would never do that.
Yeah, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Yeah, okay. Whew, that's a hard one to get out. Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, the complete series.
That's why it failed. Too big a name.
As opposed to the first season. The complete series.
That's because it got canceled.
Yeah. That 70s show, seventh season. Good Lord.
That's a show that they should have ended, but the Scientologist dollars were still rolling in, weren't they? So they had to keep
Oh, yeah. I think the half of that cast is Scientologists.
They recruited everyone.
Yeah,
except for Clarence Boddicker.
Grace, maybe he is. I don't know.
No, that's why Topher Grace left.
And Ashton Kutcher is Kabbalah, so he's in a cult.
But what a joke there.
Jewish mysticism.
Is that like, can you make rocks float with your mind? Or oh, wait, that's the Force.
The Force.
Never mind.
No, that's Kabbalah.
Oh, okay.
Sweet. You know, Yoda was like a high rabbi in Kabbalah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Of the night.
If you look, there's in the new Star Wars one, there's a red string around his wrist.
What did you say, Bill?
Nice.
I thought he said Christ.
Yoda looks great, by the way.
Those t-shirts will be out soon, by the way. We would get sued so fast.
Oh, you know it. Return to the house on Haunted Hill.
No, I'm not going back there. It's scary.
Because, you know, everyone wants to return there.
No.
Good Lord.
What was the first one? Was that the one with Bridget? Bridget?
Oh my God! No way! Jeffrey Combs is in this.
Yes.
What are you? Now I'm gonna have to watch it.
Reanimator.
Shit. He was also great in The Frighteners.
Yeah, he was. He's one of those great character actors who can most recently be seen. He is a great character on 4400.
Oh, does he? I need to watch that.
Good stuff.
Next DVD, most important DVDs of the week, Transformers, 2-disc special edition.
That's a great thing.
It is.
Michael effing Bay.
Not the greatest movie, but it is definitely nostalgic porn.
Yeah, acquired taste. Hey, if you love the Transformers toys, you definitely get a thrill from watching the things you loved as a kid on screen. And incredible
the effects are incredible.
They didn't skimp on the effects in any way.
And I cannot wait. I'm picking up the HD DVD. I'm going to go Tuesday morning and get it.
HD?
I cannot wait.
You know, how cool is that, Bill? The first time I'm going to see this film will be HD.
That's probably the second best way next to, you know, going to the theater and seeing it. So
back in the day, many of the films that I love now, I've seen a million times in full screen on VHS. And then later, you finally get to see them letterboxed on DVD. And then finally, you get to see them in HD. It's so great. It's the closest you can get to the theatrical performance. Only you don't have someone talking behind you. So, Steven, I need you to sit behind me the whole time.
I won't kick your chair.
Oh, man, don't open that door, man.
Yeah, don't go in there, Shia LaBeouf. It's like, what is a horror movie? Oh, he's
thinking, holy shit, look at that Terminator.
This isn't Disturbia, Midget Mac, or...
The last DVD is something from my youth. Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
Nice.
Revelations. I guess it's the movie version of the comic feature thing. I don't know what it is, but it's a movie version, and I'm in, man.
I thought that that's the J.J. Abrams Cloverfield.
Yeah, right.
You notice the buzz on that movie's gone. No one cares anymore.
I know. Isn't that funny how they release the trailer and everybody's like, what is this? Oh.
They need to come up with some more shit quick because no one cares anymore.
Yep.
Exactly.
I completely forgot about it.
So did I.
They need
I haven't
to put a new trailer in front of something.
Oh, and when they do, that'll be great. But if they don't, you missed out on something there. Right, Bill?
Yes. Correct. I'm sorry. And that's the DVDs for Tuesday, October 16th, 2007.
All right.
2007.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVD.
10 minutes to go.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And balls. Cherries.
Oh, not again.
Balloons. Tires.
Balls. Cherries.
Balloons. Tires.
Balls.
Cherries.
A loaf of bread. Contain of milk.
Tires,
a stick of butter.
Balls.
Contain of milk.
Balloons,
stick of butter.
Tires.
All right, everybody. Oh. That was episode 97 of Nowhere in Mulberry. 98, 99, 100. How crazy is that?
No way.
And boom goes dynamite. So thank you for tuning in this week. Oh, hello? Somebody there?
Hey.
Hey.
This is Don Chep.
Hey, Don Chep. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I thought I'd help you out there. I know you have a few minutes to go. A little something. Earlier you guys were talking about James Bond and all the different actors and where they were from. And actually only one of them's from Scotland, and that was Sean Connery, of course. But the other ones are actually from different countries in the UK.
Really?
You actually have Timothy Dalton was from Wales.
Ah, the Welsh.
Yes. Pierce Brosnan is from Ireland.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Yes.
And Roger Moore was from England. And the oddball there was George Lazenby, who was actually from Australia. So you kind of...
That's why
kinda,
he was only in one movie. Damn
right. Actually, I've on Her Majesty's Secret Service is one of my favorites. Secretly, I don't admit it to too many people, especially the Sean Connery lovers, because they tend to be kind of violent. But, anyway, I just thought I'd clear that up.
You know what? On Her Majesty's Secret Service is the best score. I think it's the best Bond soundtrack. I love it. I love the theme. I love it.
Fourth favorite Bond movie.
And
but,
you know what?
It's up there.
The thing that sucks about that is that Sean Connery wasn't in it, and they had James Bond gets married in that film. And his,
that's right.
And his
to
wife.
Miss Emma Peel.
Yeah, Emma Peel from The Avengers, and then she dies, and that kind of sets the pace for who he is.
Who he becomes.
It was a very important kind of plot point in the series, and, you know.
That's
but
right.
It's definitely worth watching.
Oh, yes. One of my favorites.
I'm going to have to
watch
it.
Which one was the Bond film that wasn't technically a Bond film with Connery? Was that Thunderball?
Say Never Again.
Never Say Never Again was actually just a remake.
Yeah,
Thunderball basically.
Oh, okay, a remake of Thunderball. I knew somehow I was confused there.
And they didn't have.
Basically, it's Bond in the future. You know, when you think about it, it's Bond 20 years later.
70-year-old Bond.
Yeah, you know, it's an older Bond, which I was funny. It was kind of odd that they went back to Sean Connery right after Roger Moore. So I'm kind of waiting for the geriatric Bond with Sean Connery, you know.
That was the one with Kim Basinger, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
And Barbara Carrera, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember
her. She was the best thing about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's not very good, though.
No.
Yeah, but wasn't Jesus in that?
There's a part where they are playing some kind of, like, video game, and you get electrocuted.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, it's electrocuting me. I'm not doing well in this game. It was actually, they were influenced from The Last Starfighter, I believe.
And Mr. Bean was in it.
Die.
That's right.
Yes, Rowan Atkinson. See, it's
you know,
not
it's
a kinda, good movie.
It's kind of sad what's been going on with Rowan Atkinson lately. I think it all went downhill when I saw him in that Scooby-Doo movie.
Yeah, the last movie I saw was The Kingdom, and there was two women behind me in line waiting for popcorn. And they said, "Did you see that Bean movie?" She goes, "Yeah, we did see that." And they were like, "It wasn't very good." She was like, "No, it wasn't." And I just wanted to go, "Why did you go to see that? You paid money to see that? What do you expect?"
You know. I have a theory about movies. You know, people say, you know, well, you know, it's a popcorn movie. But you know what? All movies cost exactly the same. When you go see a movie, you're going to pay the same $8, $9, or whatever. Whether it's an Oscar caliber movie or it's a piece of shit movie that you know that you wouldn't wait even for DVD. You'd wait for on cable maybe.
Right.
So I think you have a legitimate right to gripe. If you paid the same amount of money, You know, I mean, because, you know, with cars, you buy cars, cars have different prices. You know,
yes, they do.
Cars cost
they
more
do.
Than credit cards. You know, but movies all cost the same no matter what.
Right.
So I don't know.
Okay. Okay, yes.
All right, well.
Thanks for clearing that up there, Don and Jeff.
All right, guys.
Thanks, man.
Take care. You guys had a good show.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, if you guys would like to call and leave a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491 or leave us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Nowhere at mulberry.com, you'll find links to Mulberry Old School. If you'd like to go back and say, they're about to hit 100, I'm going to go listen to episode 50. They did a clip show. 50 episodes ago was the clip show, if you think about
50
it.
Episodes.
Was that the last
wow.
clip show?
That was the last clip show we did. 50
That's
episodes.
That's insanity.
What the hell's going on? When did we do all these shows? I don't remember. One day blowing into the
next. Is it time
for
another clip show?
I guess so. But we'll see what happens with the lunchtime show, if we can do that still, Bill. You know, with the...
Yeah.
You never know, with me starting to play Halo with you, Bill... I may just disappear. We'll never do an episode 98. People go, whatever happened to that Mulberry? Oh, I remember an Xbox got in the way.
Radio Dan will have to start calling us.
Yeah. Hey, what are you guys doing? No, like I said, on the battlefield, we're going to start doing shows inside the Xbox, okay? I'm going to find a way to do
it. Inside the Xbox.
Hey, if there's anyone who can figure out a way to do it, it'd be me, right?
We could figure it out.
We'll do it. Now, Steven, here's what you need to do.
You got to hack the Xbox, number one.
We're running out of time, but Steven, get an Xbox, take it on the road with you, play Xbox Live while you're in your hotel room. Couldn't that be possible, Bill?
Absolutely.
Let's do it, huh?
Yep. It has an Ethernet connection. He's good to go.
I'd have to get wireless. Most hotels are wireless now.
All right, everybody. Nowhere Mulberry. Thanks for listening.
They make a wireless adapter.
Yeah, do it, Steven. See you. On the flip side, don't say that, Jesus. Don't say that. What do I say, Steven?
The volume?
Quick, we're running out of time, Steven. What do I say?
We'll see you next week.
No, that's no good.
Say goodbye.
How about that,
Mulberry Bill?
Laters. Check you later.
Garbage day.
I don't know. What happens to us, at the end of the show.
What do we do? We die.
Now this is podcasting.